The secret is to be moving to and not moving from.
Hey. Stockholm is a state of mind. Yeah, we break it down like this and like that. Welcome to the podcast. Stockholm is where it's at. Let's go.
Welcome to Stockholm is a state of mind, the only podcast you need to become Swedish. I'm Maria Fogelström.
And I'm Philip Rohr. And we're the host of this podcast, created for international people like you who have moved to Sweden so you can learn more about your new home country and make you feel more welcomed. Maria, today we have quite an interesting topic.
Yeah.
I think, especially since we meet so many people from around the world who have moved to Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to move to Stockholm, how do you settle in Sweden,
yeah.
The challenges. What has been your experience since you've worked with people for almost a decade in Stockholm with this?
Actually, that many of the people who already are here, they know more than you think. Maybe also they have questions that we don't expect that they have.
Mm.
We think they have questions they don't have. So, but there are still a lot of things people need to know when they move here. So it's really great to have invited and a real expert
yes.
on the area.
Yes, today we have Lena Rekdal with us today, who has many decades of experience in this subject. Thank you so much for being with us. Could you introduce yourself?
I'm the founder of An Immersion, and we turn 29 years next year.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry, next month.
Oh. Mm.
Very soon. And what we have been doing, which is our core business since 1995, is to welcome expats to Sweden.
Mm.
And we help them first. Our first contact is usually with visas, so work permits and, you know, how to get here legally.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then we take care of them when they come.
Oh.
And that's a really exciting part because we help them find a place to live, mm. the area that suits them, schools for kids.
Mm.
And the really interesting part is when there's a full family, because you have to think holistically about this.
Yeah, of course.
And everybody needs to find their place
mm-hmm.
in Sweden.
Yeah.
So that's what we do.
I'm really interested in a bit to get to some of the practical tips that you have about different topics. But first, can you sort of share what was your entry point or your story into working in relocation and integration? And
I used to be one of the expats.
Oh.
So I grew up in Sweden, mostly, and as a teen, we moved to the U.S.,
mm.
and I stayed there for 7 years before I moved back. So I moved out as a teenager, as part of a family, and mm-hmm. I moved back as an adult on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite difficult to come from, I lived in New York City, to come from New York, where everything is possible, and if it isn't, you'll find a way to make it possible.
Mm.
You come to Sweden, which is European, old-fashioned, and there were hurdles everywhere.
Mm. Yeah.
And I didn't really know how to navigate around Swedish society.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the language. I was grown up here. I had Swedish friends, a Swedish network.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't take more than a couple of years. And then I wanted to write a book for mm-hmm. people who moved to Sweden. So it was called The Newcomer's Practical Handbook to Sweden.
Mm. A real success.
Because I felt I spent mm-hmm. all my time asking questions and asking my friends, how do I find this? How does this work?
Mm-hmm.
Etc. So I figured if you don't know Swedish and you don't have Swedish friends
mm-hmm.
that can tell you all this, what do they do? So I called around to the big companies, all the A-listed companies, like typically Swedish headquartered national epic country companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, what do you do for your expats? And they said, oh, we get so many questions. We don't know what to do. And I said, well, I'm going to write a book.
Mm.
And they said, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
We need it. And that's how the whole thing kind of started. And then one of these companies, and then all of them, they sat with me with focus groups. They told me what their issues were, their problems, and they put me in contact with a ton of expats. And the book, the first was published in 1995, and there were 3 editions.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was 10,000 copies, and it's they're really all big. Gone. I think I have 2 or 3 left.
Yeah.
And after that, one of these companies came to me and said, can you also help them? And I was like, I'm not sure I can.
Mm-hmm. I just set up a company first.
No, I had a company.
So you did.
But it was a publishing company. But so I was asked to help people from a practical standpoint. Mm. And that's kind of how it started. So it wasn't my intention. I just wanted to write a book. Mm-hmm. But that's where it started. And that's where I still am 29 years later. And we're still very much needed, just like you know.
Was that then? Did you speak to the HR departments at these companies?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
So they started with a book and nowadays they have full service.
Yes. Good. And I would say that Sweden is a do-it-yourself kind of country. Mm. And it was not easy to get HR. And this was not always in the HR department. Mm. This could be the receptionist.
Yeah.
That was asked, well, we have a person coming and maybe you could just take care of them. There was one American company had 200 expats that their receptionist had fallen in her lap. The thing was that the industry relocation didn't exist in Sweden at this time. Mm. But the Americans and the Brits and the Dutch, they had it for decades and they expected to be taken care of when they arrived. Yep. Yeah. So it was just a fortunate coincidence that that's when I started. Mm. So it wasn't by design. Ah. It was more driven out of a need and that the Swedish companies were forced by their expats to provide services.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a better way to start a business to have companies telling you we need we need you. You're like, oh, I guess I need to do this.
So I, from a theoretical standpoint, I knew a lot.
Yeah.
But from a practical standpoint, obviously not. I knew the housing market. I had moved 6 times in the first 18 months when I moved to Sweden. Yeah. So I had practiced that part. But it was, they entrusted me with their expats. Mm. And I had time and it took a lot of effort. But, you know, I just made it happen. And that's, we're still doing the same thing. So it's still needed.
I think with the word expat, do you think the meaning of that word has changed over the years?
Oh, good question. I think it used to be, it means somebody who's moved from their own country. Mm-hmm. And an expat, I think for some time, and that's not really the case anymore, big American companies had expat packages.
Yeah.
And that meant we will take care of your tax situation in the new country, we will take care of your immigration, and we will also make sure we will help you sell your home in the US, and we will also help you rent something in your new location. And expat packages probably hasn't been around to on any grand scale for quite some time, maybe 10, 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So now companies are doing it as part of employer branding. And the moves aren't, the Americans isn't a big group of people coming here. The biggest group of people that come on work permits are from India. And that's the same in the whole world because they're super educated and very, very sought after.
I also think, I know that many of the bigger companies, I talked to someone in an HR, they say that, no, we don't have any expats anymore. People are they're international, but they're locally employed.
Exactly.
So kind of that expression.
You don't have the intercompany transfer category the way you used to.
No.
When you send out young people to become, and especially Sweden is an early post for many from these intercompany transfers because it's a country that works well and it's a good place to start. And you learn a lot. There's no hierarchy, so you really see a lot within the company.
Always a good test market.
And participate in meetings that you wouldn't be able to do in many other.
An interesting aspect, I think.
Yeah, I think if you look into sort of the world of expats now, the language at least I read often is international talent. And I think that's definitely a topic that's all over the news. It's in the government. There's so many proposals around this, both from an immigration perspective and an integration perspective. I'd love to hear a little bit about sort of what is changing from an immigration policy perspective in Sweden and what has changed recently and sort of what's in the pipeline of what could come in the future?
I would say that all of Europe is sort of battling the same issues.
Mm.
We have an aging population. We have a talent shortage. Mm. We need more people to come to run our companies and our restaurants and our hospitals, etc. Mm. So we share this issue with our neighbors and the rest of Europe,
mm-hmm.
and many other countries, by the way. Even China has an aging population, and Japan, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all looking for the same talent, and we have the same needs, and a lot of those needs are in tech.
Mm-hmm.
So what countries want to do is to get the talented, highly qualified people to come and to be an attractive destination.
Mm.
So the future of immigration is that the focus is very much on highly qualified, diverse, skilled people.
Mm.
But the reality is that we need everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also with a new salary.
The threshold.
Yes.
Yeah. And there is a discussion, and there's a huge opinion against what seems to become the norm,
mm-hmm.
and it's to go with the median wage mm-hmm. as the minimum,
yeah.
and it's quite high. Right. They will have exceptions
right.
for yeah. certain, yeah. which means that the immigration will be even harder. It's already complex.
Yeah.
So 50% can't fill in an application correctly. Yeah. You can imagine what it's yeah. like yeah. When you start with the exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting.
I think the level, though, is not... It's not the highest. I know the UK have even higher. So we're not alone having this threshold.
But they it's have a big many change. Different visas.
Exactly.
We have very few visas.
Yes.
So that's why it sort of the effect or the results and mm-hmm. consequences mm-hmm. of these rules are much more across the board.
Mm.
Mm. Do you have any tips on sort of getting a sort of full picture of okay, I'm person A from country B with permit C. Now here's the list of the 10 things I really need to think about, not just to get my personal number, my bank account, but like in a year, in 3 years, in 5 years. Do you have any tips of sort of understanding all of those intricacies?
I think it's a hard question to answer, and I'll tell you why. When we welcome people, we try to be holistic in our approach.
Mm.
And we start with the end in mind. And a lot of people come to Sweden and say, we're going to live here for a year or two.
Oh.
But in reality, that's not what happens.
Mm.
A lot of people really, really enjoy living in Sweden.
Mm.
They're happy in the workplace. It's a great place to raise a family. We have super daycare, and it's very affordable and good quality.
Mm.
So people like it,
mm.
and they stay. And unless you've taken the steps to have a long-term vision,
mm.
regardless if you initially wanted to live long-term. And I've learned this from my family. We moved to the U.S. to live there for 3 years.
Mm.
My parents stayed for 29.
Mm.
So that happens. And it also yeah. happens to our clients,
mm.
which is another reason it may be good to learn the language a little bit, mm. and mm-hmm. et cetera. But so long-term vision and plan, even if it isn't your intention, is a good thing. So for the spouse, for instance, to get permanent residency, which you can apply for after 4 years, you need to have a solid housing situation, and you also need to have a long-term job or an ongoing job that can be expected to keep going unless something unexpected happens. You know, the labor law is quite protective for employees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to think about from the very, very beginning, that you want to get into the labor market.
Mm.
So you have that opportunity in 4 years, because now we see that the children will get permanent residency with the parent that is on a work permit.
Mm.
But the spouse may not get a permanent residency.
Mm.
Unless this requirement is fulfilled.
No.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I would say that that's good planning to become like a fully employed person after 4 years.
Yeah.
Mm.
which is the way into society too, is to work. Mm-hmm. And there are different types of occupations, and
it's a country where two salaries are typically needed.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So for many reasons, it might be a good idea because it's an expensive place to live and it makes life easier. Mm.
Yeah, this is about double careers, something that we, as Stockholms Akademiska Forum, we know a lot about that.
Yes.
And but I think you who meet the companies, you also meet families. Do you think the companies do enough concerning this and take into consideration when they recruit internationally that there is also sometimes or quite often a partner or family with them?
Yes, I think they do. We talk to them a lot about this. Mm-hmm. And when you recruit somebody, you should really look at the full picture.
Yeah.
Knowing that two salaries is more A, the norm, and B, maybe even the necessity. Mm. It's good to look at, does this very talented person have a talented spouse? Mm. And will it be a good place to live for them as a family? Mm-hmm. And is it possible to get a job? And can we support them somehow? And many, I think we both know some companies that do are very serious about this, and it's great, and they do a lot for the spouses. Mm-hmm. But it does take a while, and we know that it takes longer than we would want it to take.
Mm. Yeah.
But educated people, and before you decide, well, I want to move to Sweden, it's a good idea to check out what professions, where are there shortages, where can I help? Sweden is, along with many other countries, but Sweden has done this for a very long time. Mm. A residence permit as a spouse is fully qualifies you to get a job from day one or day five. So it's not a difficult situation from an immigration point of view.
Exactly.
Quite the contrary. They hope to have 2-for-1.
Yes.
Yeah.
In many, many instances, that is the case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's such
We also see that they hire spouses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They see, like, wow, we'll hire this person, but we get this person too. It's like the Clintons, you get Hillary too.
It's also really great that if you have a permit for Sweden that's not for studying, you can study for free. And so, like, if you come as a spouse and your partner has a job, you can study a master's for free. So I think that's something that we also see with Stockholm Dual Career Network that can happen, is whether it's taking a course or actually doing a full program, which...
But we also see that many of the spouses who have really big problems when they come here, not all companies take care of the spouses. And so many of them are left alone, which means that also many people actually leave Sweden because that spouse did not find a job. So we think that it's good there are good examples, but we think that companies need to do much more for the spouses.
Yeah. What would you say that they need to do? What would be the most efficient way of helping the spouses?
To go to us, maybe. I think so. To help someone, because we take over where the HR departments normally take care of their employee, but they don't have the resources or time or maybe not knowledge even to see the needs of the spouses. So I think what we do is kind of unique. So I think maybe more companies like ours to support this, because what you cannot do in house, it's one thing that you can support your employee, but also your spouse has its own life and own interests, and you don't want to completely depend on your partner. So you need your independency and your own networks and your own life. That's why it's good to contact an external organization, I think.
I agree.
That's our success, I think.
Yeah.
So, but we can see that more and more companies start to think about this. I think we're in a good way.
Because also the consequences of not doing it is that perhaps you lose a very talented person, or that happy life, happy wife.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. Yeah. And it's expensive. I mean, a recruitment is expensive. And if you lose it, it's even more expensive.
Mm.
So it's if you just look at money, it's really bad business to not take care of the spouse.
Yes. Mm. And that's where this is, I think we speak the same language mm. when we talk about the holistic view exactly. of people. Mm. And you need to think about the full family. And, you know, are there schools? I think that may be one of the reasons, and this is changing in Sweden with international schools, that mm-hmm. we actually have higher education. Mm. But for a long time, after the children were 12, there weren't really many options. No. And what was there was very expensive and full.
Mm-hmm.
So you had couldn't expect to get a place in high school. And that is something that is being addressed. But I would say that you also need, and I wrote about this just the other day, that we need more international schools, and we especially need international schools that aren't tuition-based.
Exactly.
Because we don't have salaries in Sweden. Mm. Since the old expat package
mm-hmm.
that included schools and housing, et cetera, and a company card, this is how long ago since we started. That hasn't been the case for 20 years. But you can't afford to pay a full yearly salary, disposable income for school, because then you can only have one child.
Yeah.
If and for many international people that are moving around in the world, and that's also one of the important questions to ask, where is your next location? Because then you need to think about that with school and the languages that are preferred. Will you stay in the English school system? Even though you are from Brazil, or you know, what do you anticipate for the future?
Mm.
And it's not only about English spoken schools. You need an international curriculum,
exactly,
and that we don't have very much here.
No,
that's we have to be better in that. I think whole Sweden.
I agree, and also that it's very much Stockholm, maybe Gothenburg, Malmö focused.
Yes,
that and now there is something in Västerås as well, but it.
That's the first thing. If you have children, you don't move anywhere if you don't have a school.
Mm.
And we are much more relaxed. Swedes are more relaxed about schooling.
Mm.
We don't think that it's so important, and you expect to send your kids to the closest school.
Yeah.
Mm.
But internationally, you wouldn't be that trusting of the school system. You would make sure and plan very early for where the kids go to school. And if you get this international posting, that would be a very early determinator for how attractive to find a country.
That's true. I have a completely other question about pets.
Mm-hmm.
Are there many people who bring their pet to Sweden?
Yes.
And is that a complicated procedure?
Many people bring their pets to Sweden. Dogs and cats are part of their family. Swedish landlords are usually positive.
Mm-hmm.
With dogs, less so with cats.
Huh.
And the reason for this is actually the level of allergies.
Yes.
So the further you are from the equator, the more allergies people have.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Swedes, at least in the old days, cats is an animal that you have on a farm or you have them outside. You don't have them inside an apartment or maybe a house.
Mm-hmm.
So we have less, we're less welcoming to cats.
Mm-hmm.
But dogs is all the Swedes' best friends.
Mm.
So it's typically not a problem unless the dog is at home all day and barks, because then the neighbors get angry.
You should know we have a law against that.
I know.
You cannot leave a dog more than, is it 6 hours?
I think we have something along those lines.
Yeah, it's a law.
But even a dog barking for 6 hours can be quite annoying if you're home with a baby next door.
Oh, yes, yes.
But I would say dogs, not a problem at all. People bring them and it works.
Okay.
And there is pet transfers, Air Animal, and many companies that are professional. Sometimes they move parrots by plane.
Yeah.
And
what's the craziest animal that you've been involved with relocating?
Ooh, I would like to say a snake or something. But, no, but I think there are some differences how you keep animals. And in Britain, for instance, many people live in houses and they have a little barn next to the house and they have their horse. which we don't. Mm-hmm. So then you have to find a stable. So that's bringing horses can be quite cumbersome. Ah. Mm-hmm. It can be difficult to find a stable mm-hmm. nearby.
Yeah, in Stockholm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Continuing on sort of the practical questions, you mentioned housing as one of the services you'll offer. What tips do you have for people moving to Stockholm or currently in Stockholm? It's something that we hear quite a bit of. It's very hard to find housing in Stockholm. So make it easier, Lena. How do people do this?
Well, I think that foreigners share this big problem with all the people that live here.
Yes.
Anyone who has kids that should find their first apartment can be a testament that this is difficult for everyone. Mm. And it's been difficult since 1905. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting easier. On the contrary, there are being laws passed to make it even more difficult for corporate apartments, which has sort of been, you know, the thing, the light in the dark for companies bringing people in, because it is hard and it's expensive and it's not easy to get a bank loan, etc. And I think there are apartments, there are people like us that this is what we do. We have full-time staff, and you need to do it full-time.
Yes.
And get all these tips and stay on top of the laws. And there are many illegal sublets. And it's a terrible situation to find yourself. You have to move tomorrow because my neighbor noticed that I have rented out my apartment and I didn't have a permit. If you do that, you can be forced to sell your apartment, or if it's a council flat, you will lose your lease. No. So it's quite risky.
I also think maybe when you move abroad, I did live abroad myself. You start to look in the center of a city, but actually in Stockholm you can really find much cheaper housing quite far away, but with good transports and much cheaper, so it's really affordable. Are people willing to move outside town?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say yes, because just like you point out, Stockholm is getting bigger and bigger from a sort of size perspective. And we have quite good communication, public transport going back in and out of the city. So it's not so difficult to live far away, and you don't have the traffic jams that you have in Sao Paulo, or you have to transport yourself with a helicopter on the roofs. And, you know, it's quite like different from that. So it's still a small city, and for most people that move to Stockholm, unless they come from a rural area, they're used to long commutes. They may not be long in distance, but they are long in timing.
Yeah.
And
I mean, 30 minutes away from the city center, it's not, you get far away and really lower prices.
Yes. So. And I think you have to adjust your expectations to your budget. So what my tip is, okay, you give me a budget and you tell me what you want. And then I will tell you, I'll show you properties that is per your request. And we'll show you properties that is per your budget. And then you can choose.
Good.
So it's like a good way of learning.
Great method.
Because it is a really difficult to understand. You know, what does it mean to live 30 minutes away? Does this train go all night? Is it every 10 minutes or is it once an hour? There's a lot more information that kind of goes into something. The more accessible something is, the more expensive it will be.
Yeah.
You also want to be in a safe area. And you want to, depending, if you're single, obviously you can live anywhere. If you have a spouse that also has a job, you may end up having your offices in opposite ends of the city, so you may need to be in the middle. And if you have children, you will cluster around the international schools.
True.
So those things. And if you have a dog or you want to bring, you want to be close to areas where it's nice to take the dog for a walk.
Another topic that I spend a lot of time speaking with internationals about is bank accounts.
Yes.
I would say the question I have is tips around getting a bank account, what's needed to get a bank account, and sort of what are the rights that internationals in Sweden have that they can tell the bank? Because often banks will say, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you an account. But when I look, it seems like legally they might be required to give these people accounts. So what are your thoughts around this?
This is one of the pain points. Mm. Too, apart from housing, you have the banks. Mm. And that's obviously needed because you need to get your salary. Mm. And the good news is that there are more and more virtual banks and you can get around it.
That's true.
So, yeah. But it's good to have a local bank, and you may want, if you want to be a long-term resident, you want to build a credit history so you can maybe get a mortgage one day, etc. Mm-hmm. So my tip is to do one of the things that we do. We walk around to banks. Yes. And we knock on their doors and we find that one person who will help us, yeah, or rather will help our clients. But it's an inefficient way of doing things. And we used to have really, really good contacts, but they tend to move up in the world. So they move into other parts of the bank. These things are quite short-lived. So that's why it's an endless issue. Mm. But when it comes to Europeans, it should be open to anyone to walk in off the street and get a bank account.
Yeah. Mm.
If it's a third country national, you need to have a residence permit. You need to have a Swedish bank ID.
Yeah.
We can get a limited account very early on in the process. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean you can do much with it, but you can receive funds.
Yeah.
Mm. And you can go in and you can actually get pay your landlord, which is essential, right?
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
Mm.
And if I was to give anyone a tip that is doing it on their own, is I would start by asking my employer, what banks do you use?
Yeah. Mm.
Can you call them and ask them for an appointment?
Oh, that's a good
great tip. Yeah.
And two, walk around, knock on doors, and if you're an EU national, they should open bank accounts. And the banks were tasked to be better at this under the last government. So it's actually 2-3 years ago, but we haven't seen any improvements. You are right. They legally have the right, and I've checked this with all our international partners. It's the same in all of Europe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But they will tell you they don't have time for 16 weeks. And that basically means that they said no in a very elegant way.
Yes. <That's>...
What's the secret behind a really successful relocation?
The secret is to be moving to, because you want to move, and not moving from.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have different sort of outsets when you do that, and you are moving somewhere because you're excited about that, and to have good job prospects. Everyone in the family is on board. That is also the secret sauce. And I would say to the companies should support, and the companies, if they can, should also support the spouse. It's very important in a variety of ways, both from a career situation and to get help looking for jobs and to integrate in Swedish society. It's not all about money. I would say that there are a lot of things you can do that don't cost anything, to have a mentor at work, to really engage with this family and think about them holistically, like we said before. I think when you move to a new country, there are sort of three things that you can think of. And one thing when you move to Sweden, number one is to understand the Swedish psyche. Swedes are introverts. And there's an old saying that if you have a tray of cookies, you have to ask 7 times before a Swede will take that cookie. I think that may be a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's an old saying. And I think you have to invite a Swede to join you in any kind of way 7 times before they say yes, because they're so nervous about being pushy or out of place. So you have to take a lot of initiatives when you move to Sweden. I had to do that when I moved back too. And it's not always terribly comfortable, but it works. And I also think to be curious and make this your city, and you make it your city and your country by exploring it and to try new things. And that's what I did. I was about to move from Sweden because it wasn't Manhattan. And when I wrote this book, I knew everything about the city. I walked into every basement. I checked out every business, every store. And that, in that process, I learned to love Sweden. Mm. But it wasn't the way I walked into that project. It wasn't the feeling I had. Mm. So it actually, I think, being very out there is a good thing to do.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Yeah. Experiences. Mm. And also invite maybe your neighbors and do it many times. And it can be very low threshold. Have a coffee in the courtyard. Ah. Have a, you know, a glass of wine over the fence or an after work kind of thing. Yeah. And don't take it personally if you're not invited to somebody's home because it isn't personal. Mm-hmm. So try to do things out there.
Yeah.
And join groups. There are lots of meetup groups. Mm. Mm.
True.
And also for the companies to really support these foreign talents. Mm.
And learn some Swedish.
Absolutely.
That's a good tip.
You don't need to learn Swedish, but you need to understand.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be the person in the room where everybody has to switch to English for you to follow.
Exactly.
So even if not everyone is comfortable speaking Swedish, which they should be, because it's amazing to learn another language. Mm-hmm. And
it's quite impressive. Easy. Swedish is quite easy to, easy grammar.
Yes.
Yeah. Better than Finnish.
How anyone can learn Finnish is beyond me. It's really impressive. But they do, because it's a requirement for permanent residency.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it's important, if you want to go into a country and be part of it, you will have such a much, much better time.
Mm.
And we've seen that many times. When we worked with big companies that take volumes of people, you can actually draw some conclusions of their programs.
Mm-hmm.
And the companies, we've had a lot of exit interviews, being like, you know, how has this worked for you 3 years or 5 years down the line? And what were the success factors?
Mm.
And one very memorable conversation that I had with one guy, he said, I came here, we were about 20 people coming, they all came from Georgia in the US, and they all came to Stockholm around the same time. But he was the one person who took advantage of the intercultural course.
Mm.
And he said, I understood the Swedes because I had been taught.
Mm.
While my other colleagues were like, why are they leaving in the middle of the day to go and pick up kids at daycare? This is totally nonchalant. And they were very frustrated and they didn't stay as long as he did. So I think learning about the culture before you come will make your life easier.
And follow the culture. I think I can see quite often international people late in public transports. They have been working way much longer than the normal Swede do. So I think also adapt and use the same system. Do as the rest of the Swedes do. Don't work the whole night, because you do that in your home country. Here, use the system and enjoy.
Yeah. I think they also, I've heard people say, oh, you know, I'm really uncomfortable with these coffee breaks that are so standardized in Sweden. And they say, I don't want to seem like a slacker. I don't want to seem like I don't take my job seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go away and drink coffee in the middle of the workday.
Yeah.
But that's where Swedes connect.
Mm.
Yeah, they think it's hysterical really if you don't go and have your coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Swedes have to get better at inviting them and telling them and explain.
Mm.
You know, this is sort of where we get the glue.
Mm-hmm.
In our teams,
so you actually paid for it. You get your pay. You get paid, so you have to come and drink coffee with us.
It's part of your job description.
It is. Well, thank you, Lena.
Yes.
Wow, lots of information today.
Yeah.
Philip.
Absolutely. I think it's having relocated here from Estonia, and then I think we could talk about this for hours. I have many more questions, so maybe we should take a fika and talk more.
Absolutely.
But if listeners want to hear more about Nimmersion, your company, where can they find you, and sort of what resources do you offer?
Oh, we have a website, but that's not the best way of finding us, I think. What we do is that we are very active on LinkedIn.
Ah.
And this is where we share news, especially about immigration, but also relocation and on our, that's what I do because I love, and that's where this company was sort of came out of a book.
Yeah.
So it's communication and teaching and learning and sharing information. Mm-hmm. But on our company page, we actually did an immersion LinkedIn page.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun facts about Sweden and the relationship with other countries and you know, the holidays now coming up is Valborg when with all the bonfires and, you know, where to look. You can look at the municipality website to see where you have a fire nearby. And that's something that you should really experience if you're here.
I agree.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Lena.
Thank you.
As always, make sure to follow along so you hear about our next episode. And this podcast is produced by Stockholm's Akademiska Forum. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Hey, Stockholm is a state of mind. Yeah, we break it down like this and like that. Welcome to the podcast. Stockholm is where it's at. Let's go.